B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum down the right side, kick out to the corner, swung from Grant Williams to Marcus Smart. Maybe they can. It's three in the air. It's good, and he got fouled.
Man, give me some ketchup, somebody. Somebody just spill it on my hot dog. Marcus Smart, baby, are you real right now? Ooh, man. He's talking about a little pump fake, gets his man up in the air, barely hit him on the arm, but he'll take it, and one, and another one. 4-point play.
Free throw. Got it. Marcus Smart has all 16 Boston points in the quarter.
Five, the Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. What's been going on during the break has apparently been hysterical. We're going to do something else completely here. But I'm not changing now. This has been fantastic because you may not have known this, but over the last like 20 minutes or so, you know, Joe Murray came out with the opinion that he thinks that the Celtics are better without Gordon Hayward, which I don't agree with, but I also don't think it's like that crazy of a thing to state. I mean, they're playing really well without him. I just think that if, you know, he's been playing as well as he has all year. They were playing great with him. And when he comes back, it's going to be nice to have Marcus Smart come off the bench. Although the more I think about it, they're probably going to, I don't know, maybe they, I don't know if they would immediately put him back.
Depends on how the ankle reacts and how quickly they get him back. Yes.
It depends. It all depends. And to be quite honest, even if he was back 100%, you know, there's also an argument that, you know, maybe Marcus Smart has kind of earned this spot and you come out with this quick, fast energy at the beginning of the game. Maybe there's a value to that. But that's another discussion. But John Wallach is not having any of it. And this has become a hot war between the... I mean,
see,
this
the
is
best
like,
part about all of this
John,
is...
John,
just real like quick, you real, always John, do, you John. Step out of the way of the train and let either... When Fred's here, Fred or myself, you are all in on this, but you have backed away. You are the epitome of Teflon. I love this about you.
You managed to step
out of the way of the train and start giggling when somebody else on the show gets run over by it. That's fine. Continue.
Because I'm not yelling about this. Like, I mean, you guys like started screaming at each other, and I'm like, all right, this is funny. So of course I'm going to step back. And second of all, I like hearing Joe's opinion on this. I'm not going to shut the guy down. We disagree. You guys hate each other.
Oh.
And here's how much I know you hate. Like,
we're like, working together tomorrow for 4 hours.
Someone said, take Thunderdome. 2 men enter, 1 man leaves. And so, okay, just to give you a little behind the scenes of what's been going on during the break. Now, I'm way away from all you guys, so I'm hearing this like secondhand. But I guess that, you know, producer Dan O'Brien, said something to Joe Murray during the break, like, you know what? I think I agree with you. And Dan, what did Joe Murray say to you?
He's like, how come you didn't chime in? Where have you been?
He yelled at you, how come you didn't chime in? I can abuse you out there.
It was because we only had a couple of seconds before Joe then had to go on and do one of his masterful promotional announcements. So I just said, Joe, all I said to him was, I said, I couldn't agree with you more. And he's like, well, you know, how come you didn't? I said, because there was enough people yelling. There was enough people going bananas in there for the last segment that I thought, you know what? I just think that the Celtics as a team, he has not been on the floor consistently enough where the chemistry shows. And when he's not there, there is the ball flows better. I think Tatum goes to the basket more aggressively. He did that yesterday because Toronto, don't give them time to set up on him. Get the ball, make your decision, go. I think with Hayward, it slows it down. He's plodding. He's very... And I think Joe is correct in his statement. It's not a bad take. to say that the Celtics are a better team without him.
I don't agree with him, but you're right. It's not a bad take. Let's go to on line two, the real Big O. Yes, the real Big O. What do you have to say, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm going to tell you this. I will take a Joe Murray hot take over a Wallet take any day of the week. Joe is completely right about this. And I think you guys are going to give him some more credit. This guy, I drive around all day listening to you guys. I'm a rep. I hear Joe quite a bit. And he is one of the most knowledgeable sports guys you have on the station besides Beatles. Mm-hmm. And he's absolutely right about this. Gordon Hayward was in the way, making problems. This even helps out Stevens become a better coach because he doesn't have to worry about putting Gordon in places where the other players are wondering what the heck this is all about. So, Wallach, I know you get a lot of your information off the back of basketball cards. You're wrong on this one. You're totally wrong.
People's champ, baby. That's one thing Joe is, by the way, Rich, and I think you can agree with me on this. He's the people's champ. Everyone loves him.
I love it that he's fired.
Yeah, no, he's what I'm saying is
this guy right there
loves him.
But he insulted you directly,
yeah.
John Wallach.
Yes.
He said that you get your information from like the baseball cards or bat, whatever he said. Are you going to take that?
What am I supposed to say? I know you are, but what am I?
No, you're supposed to pull a Dan Lifshitz.
Oh, I see.
No. You know, pull a Dan Lifshitz. Say, I'm going to find where you live.
You hurt my feelings. I'm coming after you.
Yeah. All right. 617-779-0985. Marty on line one. What's up, Marty?
Hey, I completely agree with Joe, what your producer said in the last caller. And the guy Wallach kept repeating that Hayward was an all-star. Hayward's never been an all-star for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, he was. 2017. Not in the Celtics, but he was an all-star.
He wasn't an all-star for the Boston Celtics. We're talking about
he's been injured almost his entire time as a Boston Celtic. I mean,
you know, that's exactly what Joe was saying. That's like to the point. Hayward is soft. People want him to be good.
Hang on. Real quick. I'll agree with you about chemistry and all that. But he's soft. What about those injuries? Like, made it so he was like, you can't control snapping your bones like that.
He's going to be out for a month. He's soft, and I guarantee you, the Celtics would love to have the money back and the picks that they traded. Because when you talk about him, you also have to talk about replacing that asset with something better. He's a decent little ball player, but he's not all that.
They didn't trade anything for him. It's the money. They didn't trade anything for him.
Well, that's money. Money's an asset. But thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, John Walk, you obviously got that stat in the back of a basketball card.
I pay attention. I apologize.
That guy came hot with all these takes, and then he was wrong at the end about saying the picks that they got for Hayward. So way to go.
Money's an asset.
John, I'm going to put that one in your column.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Some guy tweets in, he says, John, you talk down to Joe every time you disagree with him and you don't even know it. You're pretty condescending, my friend. So there you go.
Condescending to you, Joe?
Sign Joe Murray.
Am I being condescending?
If I can be honest here, I feel like I give a take. I sometimes I feel like I give takes just to throw them out there sometimes. So it's my own fault at times just to see, you know, how the buzz works. I don't think you condescend me. I just think that don't get upset. I think both you and Rich at times disagree with my takes.
What's wrong with that?
That's good radio.
Okay, so
I just think this one.
I'm being condescending because I disagree.
I just think this one here, though, like Hayward's never worked out.
But that's the thing. Celtics fans don't like Hayward because A, he snapped his ankle 5 minutes into his first game and wasn't available for the entire season, and then spent his entire second year working his way back from the injury. This year, he's not just been good, he's been way above average good.
Yeah, he's been excellent this year. And to say he's never worked out, he hasn't had a chance to work out.
That's
with his
my
team.
Point, though. Isn't that part of the take?
No, it's not.
No, it's not part of the take.
This is why I'm disagreeing with you, is that I think that this year, when he's finally been healthy, he's shown you just how good this guy can be. And he has played at, I mean, as I said, the best basketball of his career. And the team was playing well when he was healthy. They're playing well without him, too. And that's a testament to just how good this team is and how deep they are. But my point is that it's good to have him
It's better to have a weapon like that than to not have it. Does it screw up the chemistry if you throw him back into the starting lineup? Is it as good as when Marcus Smart's there? You know what? That's an argument to be made. I think the chemistry's probably better when it's Marcus Smart and it's not Gordon Hayward. Listen, Mike Gorman, who's going to be on with us in about 10 minutes, you know, he watches all these games. He sees everything. He's 100% convinced that the ball just moves better when you've got Gordon Hayward out there. Maybe he's correct, and maybe that's right. There is something to be said about the energy when Marcus Smart's on the floor instead of Gordon Hayward, but I just think having an asset like him, the team is better with him, whether or not they're better, it's a better five on the court with him instead of Marcus Smart is, to me, a different discussion to have. So there you go. Is that fair, Joe?
I just think that when he does come back, he shouldn't be in the starting rotation.
Would you rather have the Celtics play this team, Milwaukee/Miami, and the Western Conference champion with him or without him?
That doesn't make my argument.
I understand.
The team is deeper with Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward at 6'10" and the athletic ability that he has.
Do they need him against these teams?
If they're going to win a championship, yes, they need him.
All right, let's go to Pat on line two. Hey, Pat, you have entered the Hot Take Thunderdome.
Yeah, I don't know what you're thinking sometimes. You just rip on Joe Murray like it's nothing. When you're not stealing other people's jokes, you're ripping on Joe. I'll tell you what Joe does. Joe can kill a segment, okay? Joe can hop on and take 15 minutes of radio. You can't do that. You tried to do that. You can't do that.
He's doing it now.
I can't have Crash Back, I want Joe Murray ready in this.
Wow. This goes back a decade. Wow. People still pissed about Crash Clark. That's 11. That take is 11 years old. Wow.
All right, we're getting someone here that says, I'm 100% Wallaholic. I'm a Wallach side with this. And then we got Mike on line three. Mike, are you on are you on Team Wallach here? In the Hot Take Thunderdome. Mike! Listen, the one guy who was going to stand up for you is gone.
Yeah.
didn't have the courage to stand up.
Joe's the people's champ. He is. People, and this, not just here in the studio, wherever I go, people ask me about you, sir. They ask me, so when is Joe on tomorrow? You know, I was listening to Joe's take. I took the Bankroll Boys advice. Honest to God, Rich, and I don't know if this happens to you because you're, you know, isolated on vacation Siberia, but where I go, I swear to God, in suburbia USA, in the western suburbs, Joe, I know you already have the North Shore covered, but where I am in the western suburbs, people love Joe Murray.
Dude, you don't have to kiss his ass.
No.
How am I kissing his ass?
Wallach's been a great mentor. We hang out when you're not here. We talk off the air.
How am I kissing his ass?
I'm backing up on takes. What
just happened over the last 15 minutes. Everyone loves Joe.
All right, listen, we all know there's only one opinion that matters, and that it would be Mr. Mike Gorman. Mike Gorman, a guy who is almost never wrong, except for when he said, if I may.
Yes. If you present the question to Mike, just do it in
it
a way
that... It has to be phrased correctly.
How shall I frame it?
It has to be phrased as, this team has really good chemistry without Gordon Hayward, huh?
That's not a question. All right.
I like you planting the seed. I like that.
Because if you got the way you ask it, you know what I mean?
I understand.
Because I know he's going to defend. Everyone's going to defend Gordon Hayward.
Well, not
nice
everyone.
Guy.
We just had an avalanche of people defending you.
I'm just going to let you yell at Gorman. That's going to be funny. All right. So we will get to Mike Gorman, the great Mike Gorman, right after this. Everyone just can take a breath.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, for Touch Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jaylen Brown up fakes the three. Shot clock at one. He steps to his left, launches a crazy three. It is no good. Rebound. Smart tried to keep it alive. Couldn't do it. 3 seconds to go. Quick three. Van Vliet. No good, and the Celtics have won the ball game.
My heart beats still. Where's Fred Sanford? Would you need him? Elizabeth, I'm coming to see you, honey. I'm going to have a Celtic jersey on. Ah.
Toronto had a timeout, and they didn't take it.
Five of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. What a great game last night. That was a fun one. These first game, not as good of a game, but it was great to see the Celtics absolutely just stomp on a team that we all knew was going to be tough competition. Still is. As I said, I still think this goes the distance. And the great Mike Gorman, he might be the smartest man in America this morning. He is the play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics for NBC Sports Boston, and he's brought to you by Corona, official import beer of the Boston Celtics, and joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. He said that the most important player on this team going into the postseason was the Celtics' own version of Steph Curry, or Larry Bird, if you will, with five straight threes yesterday. The offensive weapon that is Marcus Smart. You knew, Mike Gorman, you knew the entire time he was going to do this, didn't you?
Yes, I did, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's why you are a genius. And that's, you know, I was thinking about you when he was pulling that off, and I'm like, Mike knew.
I like the quote by Tatum after the game yesterday. He said, "Not only have I never played with someone like Marcus Smart, I never even met anybody like Marcus Smart." he's a unique player. I mean, I think we're all finding that out as time goes by. Whatever you need at the moment, he provides. If they need three-point shooting, he gives it to them. If they need a steal, he gives it to them. He gives a rebound, he gives it to them. If they need to break the other team's momentum by drawing a charge or something like that, he gets it. There's a loose ball, he gets it. And not only he gets it, he's still great at passing from a prone position to somebody to get a fast break going. I wonder just how good he can be over a period of time if he keeps progressing like this with the shooting. Because that was the only knock against him, was he didn't shoot it. And he showed yesterday, with the chips on the line, he can shoot it very well.
It's almost as if the moment he stopped flopping, he started shooting better.
Well, and I don't know. Maybe there's a connection there. Marcus is just, again, he's just willing to do whatever it takes at the moment. And I think the thing that makes him special is he recognizes what it takes before most. I watched him a couple of times yesterday when we were able to see shots on the sidelines. And he's constantly kind of coaching other guys. He's constantly got arms around other guys, trying to get them together as a team to talk out at the free throw line during a free throw or something like that. Tatum and Brown are going to have many years as an all-star, and I think they're great, potentially great players. But the guts of this team, the heart and soul of this team is Marcus Smart. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Okay, so he's had the ball in his hands a lot more than I think even Brad Stevens expected because of Gordon Hayward's injury. And we have been talking. It has been Hot Take Thunderdome here on the Toucher and Rich Show. You have had Joe Murray and John Wallach going head-to-head, very heated, even though I disagree with Joe Murray. But he is, like, Joe Murray's opinion is that this team is better without Gordon Hayward. And I don't want to put words into your mouth, Joe Murray. I want to make sure I'm saying that the right way. But this has been, I mean, they definitely have been playing well since he's been out. Do you think that the Celtics team is better without Gordon Hayward?
No, I don't. I think what Joe is saying, though, which is accurate, is that with Gordon out of the lineup and those minutes having to be filled by other people, people have stepped up big. Rob Williams being a big example of that. People have stepped up big and filling those gaps and making the team look like they are better. But you can't take a guy who averages, 15, 16 points a game, five rebounds, five assists, a couple of steals, Hayward does, and say that you're better without him. I think that's a stretch.
Is he?
Sorry, Joe.
Is the chemistry better when he's not playing with them? I think these are fair questions to ask because, I mean, there was talk a while back, you know, this is when he was getting better, and I don't even know if it's fair, and I don't even know if these accusations were fair, but there was talk when he was, you know, coming back to play that Brad Stevens was jamming him into the lineup and that it was taking away time on the court of guys like Jaylen Brown. I know we're kind of past that now, but do you think that Gordon Hayward disrupts or is the chemistry better when Gordon Hayward's not there? Put it that way.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it's better, but I don't think I think it's the two different teams. He becomes the point forward on the team much more so than Marcus. And so you see Walker handling the ball, setting people up more when he's out there with Marcus than he might do if he was out there with Gordon, because Gordon, again, is a perfect point forward, and Brad's offense plays too, having a point forward. So I think it's a different chemistry. I don't think it's better or worse. It's hard to – they win six in a row right now in the playoffs, and it's hard to say that they aren't a very good team just the way they are without adding anybody else. But when Gordon comes back and he's ready to play, he will help. He won't hurt the team.
Do you think Gordon Hayward, when he does come back, will come off the bench, or will Smart go back?
No, I think he'll come off the bench. I do. I think, again, the chemistry, what we see here, you win six straight games with Marcus in that position, you're not really likely to change your starting lineup. You can change, you can tweak your rotation to work a guy back in. But no, I wouldn't think. I don't know the answer to that question. But if I were the king of the forest, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, so now the Celtics, but to the surprise of many people, I think, not only here but nationally, lead Toronto 2-0. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is going to end quickly, or do you think Toronto will be back in Game 3 and this thing will go 7 like we all figured it would?
I don't think it's going to go 7. I think it's likely to go 5 or 6 with Boston winning in 5 or 6. The Celtics, for whatever reason, and I have no explanation for this, but the Celtics seem to play in the bubble better than anybody else. They're unquestionably, in my mind, the best team in the league right now in the bubble game. Since the forget those 7 games or 8 games they played to round out the regular season, the seeding games, whatever they call them. Just since the real playoffs have started, you can make an argument easily that the Celtics are the best team up there right now. And for whatever reason, they seem to play well in that gym. And I think the home court advantage for a lot of other guys, you know, how many series, be it in baseball or be it in basketball, you always hear, well, once we get them back in our home court, so we're down 2-0, it doesn't really matter. Well, it does matter now, because there is no home court. It's just this neutral court that everybody plays on. And the Celtics play better on the neutral court than anybody else does. And I think that's a huge advantage for them right now, because I think they take the floor as a very confident team. So I'd be stunned, Rich, if this went 7. 6 maybe, but I think it's probably more likely 5.
And they're so balanced. Like, put it this way. Like last night when they announced that 34 points was Jason Tatum's playoff career high, I saw that number and I'm like, man, with all the guys who are scoring like a zillion points this postseason, like that seems really paltry. But then you take a look at it and it's almost better to have a team like that where the scoring is spread around, I don't want to say evenly, but I mean, like there, you have, you know, like the other day you had all 5 starters were in, you know, double digits. Even Robert Williams, you know, was in double digits as well. And then you've got these teams that are, you know, maybe heavy with 1 or 2 players. And it just seems like teams, the way the Celtics are built with scoring like that, just win more, don't they?
Oh, I think they will in the long run, for sure. And that was a pretty ugly 7th game last night between Utah and Denver. So, again, the one-man shows, neither one of them really showed up last night to any extreme. Again, the Celtics are just playing really well as a unit right now. When I heard at the end of the game that Tatum had the number he had, I was like, gee, I didn't think he had that many points. I thought Smart might have had 30 the way he was playing. But, I love it. The position the Celtics are in right now. I mean, it's just the way they're playing, the confidence with which they're playing. Toronto is really struggling. That whole idea that Toronto had to leave Canada, 2 weeks before anybody else to get to Orlando because of the virus. They were afraid they couldn't get out of the country or get back into the country. They've been down there too long, and they seem to be playing like they want to go home. Not they want to go home. I don't think that's a conscious move. But I think they're just tired of being away and being down there. So,
I was thinking about that, the exhaustion. Yeah, that's got to be wild. Like, I mean, because they did get there before anyone. And I started thinking about these later rounds. Like, what is it going to look like during the finals when these guys have been down there for as long as they have? Like, I'm wondering if the quality of basketball is going to start going down.
It may, because I think the quality of basketball at this point has been very good.
Yep.
I've thoroughly enjoyed watching the games that I've watched. It may deteriorate a little bit, but the stakes get higher, too. And so the higher the stakes get, the better guys are going to play with the idea of, like, hey, we can get a ring out of this.
And that's pretty much where the Celtics are at right now. I mean, I think if you were quite in a fly on the wall in that locker room right now thinks they can win the whole thing. And it's not just not some pipe dream. They think they can win it.
Okay, so the next opponent, let's assume that you're right and the Celtics take care of Toronto as quickly as you believe they do. Miami or Milwaukee, which is a better matchup?
Which is a better matchup?
For the Celtics.
Maybe Milwaukee.
Wow.
I agree.
I think Miami wins that series.
Okay.
I mean, they look good, and they're a good team, and they've been good all season long. And if you have an inspired, Jimmy Butler, if he's playing like the way he played in game one, I mean, I don't know. That's a much tougher team, as we said, much more balanced team than the Milwaukee Bucks.
And, right and now, they beat the Celtics in the bubble without Butler. So
yeah, they did.
They defend really well. They're extremely well coached. Nobody gives him credit. He's one of the top four or five coaches in the league easily. And they're deep, which you were saying earlier, Rich, and I think is true. In this type of tournament where you're playing every other day, you need to have 8-9 players you can go to that can get you the lead back, as opposed to just kind of hold off things when they come in a game. And Miami's got guys off the bench who can score and who can play. And if the threes start dropping from Miami, I think Milwaukee's in trouble.
I think Milwaukee's finally in trouble anyway. Just real quick before we go, Joe Murray, I just want to make sure, because I don't want Mike Gorman to be gone and you get upset that I didn't ask it correctly. Did I ask your Hayward question correctly? I just want to make sure.
Yep.
Because good.
Wallach right. asked if he returns, Smart will still be in, and that's my take as well.
Excellent. So now everyone can
great
kind of
minds
make up. That's right. They do. All right. Well, Mike Gorman, great stuff. We'll talk to you next week. This has been a hell of a lot of fun to watch. Wish you were doing the call instead, but you know, it's been good talking to you every week here. We'll talk to you, I guess, next Wednesday.
You bet. Talk to you then.
All right.
See you guys.
All right. Joe Cardona from the Patriots. He's going to join us. He's got this big Patriots benefit thing that they're doing to plug. We will talk to him. What is that, Dan? What were you saying in my headsets? What are you saying?
Sorry, I just said the Patriots premiere is tomorrow night.
The Patriots premiere. That's the name of it. Yeah, it's tomorrow night. And we'll talk to him about that and also what's going on with the Patriots right after Joe Murray's headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk, while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Tusher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Whoa. Bill Belichick?
Really?
You're right. I should get a delicious footlong from Subway. That would be better.
Now you look better, too.
Thank you.
Hey, Bobby Sports Hub, it is Tutcher and Rich. That, of course, is Bill Belichick. And his, I don't know, it's an acting debut, but it's something you don't see often, him in a Subway commercial, and Joe Murray in studio, John Wallach as well. And the Patriots premiere is the largest annual fundraising event for the New England Patriots Foundation, and it celebrates the start of a new football season. The 2020 Patriots premiere will be a virtual event on Thursday, September 3rd. That is tomorrow at 7 p.m., just 9 days prior to the home opener against the Miami Dolphins. You can tune to WBZPatriots.com and Patriots social media to help them kick off the football season and raise critical funds to continue to serve the needs of the New England communities we call home. Joe Cardona, he not only plays for your New England Patriots, but he's also one of the good guys. Holding down two jobs, his second and slightly more important job is an officer in the U.S. Naval Reserve, holding the rank of lieutenant. Mr. Joe Cardona, good morning. Thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, so you're a Navy guy who grew up in California near Miramar. How obsessed was your family with the movie Top Gun?
I don't know about my family, but me for sure. I mean, I couldn't help myself. My dad was in the Navy, kind of around that the Top Gun era, and he was in the aviation community. So I was enthralled at an early age. So I couldn't help myself.
Now, when he would talk about, like, when you guys watched that movie, as somebody who kind of knows what it was really like, did he love the movie and go, like, yeah, that's the way it is? Or was he, like, calling out, that's inaccurate. Things do not work that way right down the street from us.
You know, it was an exciting movie for basically everybody in the service at that time. So I think, you know, as inaccurate as most movies are, he embraced it and knew, you know, it helped me out. It helped push me along that pipeline. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be, you know, Maverick up, you know, fighting, they were flying F-14s, but, yeah, I wanted to do that, fly F-18s so it influenced me for sure. But he'd always pull out the lines from the movie on me. You know, it was awesome.
Yeah, you'd walk by after practice, Slider, you stink. Yeah. And then, of course, you'd get really dejected and have to go take a shower. So this has been a weird season. How strange has your first socially distanced preseason been?
Yeah, I mean, as far as social distancing goes, it's been an adventure. You know, it's been an adaptation for all of us. We've all, you know, had to figure things out and kind of move forward in a productive way. Just completely different, completely outside the usual bounds of training camp. But you know, as far as I can tell, you know, we're making progress, and that's all we can do is just one day at a time, one step at a time, get ready for Miami and what comes of the season for sure.
Hey, Joe, I want to ask you about long snapping, man. I don't know how you got started. Were you like a tight end and throwing it around, dude? Like, I've heard you can get it up to 40 miles per hour. Have you ever been any speed tests out there? And when Bill Belichick brings in another snapper, you're like, yeah, bro, I can at least do it 40 miles per hour. Like, tell us about your story and long snapping, because, man, it's a gift. If you can do it, you can get a job in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, actually kind of back to my dad on this one. He really didn't think I'd see the field at any level of football, so he decided to teach me long snapping, and I was grateful for it. But I, you know, ended up being a decent high school player, and you know, was recruited and everything. But he had the foresight to say, "Hey, you can do this on any team, you know, as long as you can do it well." And lo and behold, I could do it for the New England Patriots on a couple Super Bowl winning teams. So I think he had the vision, you know, and then ultimately it's just a lot of you know, bending over and throwing the ball between my legs to get good at it. So it's kind of unavoidable with repetition and all that.
I'm just wondering, Joe, Bill Belichick, I don't know if you know this, has an affinity for lacrosse players. He's very big into lacrosse. Does the fact that you played lacrosse in high school, did that factor into you coming here?
I'm not sure he knew about that at the time. I mean, I assume
Ernie gave him the report. Yeah. Ernie Adams gave
Ernie
him the report.
Ernie Adams is all over this.
You know, I wish my stats were a little bit better. you know, I could have made a better case for myself. But, yeah, who knows? Hopefully it's all hopefully it was a good scouting report if my lacrosse skills came into account. Definitely one of my favorite sports.
Well, speaking of, like, being, you know, Joe was talking about, you know, were you a tight end and you went to a long snapper? Well, I mean, you are rated as a tight end on Madden 21, and you posted something kind of funny. So the Patriots posted this, like, thing on their Instagram that was like, look at all of our player ratings. And it's all these super high ones. You've got, of course, Gilmore, who's got the 99, guys like Devin McCourty with a 92, and, you know, Edelman with an 87. You know, you're not on the 10 that they chose to put on this, but you did indeed leave a comment on the Instagram, didn't you, Joe?
Yeah, you know, I've chosen to embrace my my 26. Ultimately, Madden, you know, it's year after year after year, they've marginalized our position and haven't fairly represented us. So what else can I say other than those nerds at Madden don't really understand long snapping?
So okay. Hang on. So you got a 26 on Madden, which is obviously, we know with your position, it's not fair. I don't even know how they would calculate everything, but they gave you a 26. Looking around the guys in the locker room, like how much, because they're going to say it doesn't mean a lot. How much does it truly mean, their Madden rating, when that is released?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that Stephon Gilmore definitely deserves a 99, and D-Mac deserves a 92, and who knows, maybe Edelman's being slighted to 87, but I would love just to get in the 30s, so.
Just shooting for 30, man. That's all
yeah,
I want.
Do I have to start like a petition, you know, change.org? You know, I'll write up the proposal, but, you know, ultimately I got to get them to look at the email.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? You know, we'll do a grassroots campaign. The show will get that out there. Whatever you got to do. I don't know. John's close with a lot of nerds all over the country, so maybe we'll be able to connect.
I got you, Joe. Don't worry.
I need all the help I can get.
All right. So you're going to be doing this Patriots premiere. It's the largest annual fundraising event for the Patriots. Can you tell us a little bit about it and how the people can get involved?
Yeah, so, you know, the Patriots premiere this year, as with many events, it's gone virtual. So ultimately, it's an opportunity for more people to be involved. You know, this is usually kind of an end of training camp, you know, big gala where there's a lot of donors and a lot of, you know, people there. But ultimately, I think this opens it up to a lot more people in the community to, you know, take part and be a part of the community service that the Patriots organization does. So, you know, it's tomorrow night, 7 p.m. You know, you can go through our social media or WBZ. Yeah, come on out. You know, I think there's great items to bid on, and there'll be some entertainment. I can't speak to the quality of the rookies, but hey, we'll see. Let's come out and support, because, you know, constantly throughout the season and off season, we use those funds raised to really do a lot in the community. And I've been personally really fortunate to take advantage of those opportunities and get out in the community and just do as much as I can in this area. And it's any support is really appreciated.
Well, finally, what did you think of Belichick's acting in the Subway commercial?
You know, I thought it was great. I don't know how else to put it. Coach, if you're listening, you know, I support your SAG nomination, and you know, I'm sure they're coming. You know, who knows who might have seen that and what roles are coming in the future.
I just want to know if he gets one of those Happy Gilmore free sandwiches for life cards that they give you if you do a commercial for it, because that to me would be worth it altogether there, just to get that one little thing and to be able to show it off. All right, well, Joe Cardona, one of the good guys, obviously, good luck with the season. It's going to be an interesting one with the way everything shakes out, and we appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks a bunch.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll see you, man. All right, Billy Jaffe is going to be on, do a little postmortem with us about the Boston Bruins season, whether he thinks Char is going to stick around, and all the other decisions that the Bruins have to make, and we'll get to him right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got John Wallach, Joe Murray in studio, and I don't watch Dancing with the Stars, but I do find it interesting when they reveal who is going to be on it, and you know, I'm always disappointed. Like when they had Ray Lewis on there, I was like, oh my gosh, Ray's going to have to talk. This is going to be, and they just they're editing and stuff, and it wasn't any good. But I do find it interesting that they have announced that, you know, they just announced the cast, and there's a bunch of people that, you know, make you scratch your head like normally. I mean, there's like the head coach from Netflix's Cheer TV show and one of the Bachelorettes, and Vernon Davis is going to be on there as well. Some Disney Channel star I've never heard of, the host of Catfish. Oh, Charles Oakley. That'll be funny.
Oh, now we're talking.
Wait, my man Neve's
that's
on
right.
there? Neve is
going to
be
Who?
Neve from Catfish?
Is that Neve Schulman?
Yeah, Neve Schulman's the man.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's going to be one of the people. Is he the guy who made the movie Catfish? Because I saw the movie Catfish. I never watched the TV show.
Yeah, that's him. I love him. He's great.
Oh, okay. Anne Heche,
yep.
Let's see. Does Neve Schulman have a tramp stamp, I'm being told to ask you?
He does, from what I've...
Okay.
Come on.
How about that?
Really?
Guy with the tramp stamp.
All right.
Why not? And then then there's a bunch of like people I've never heard of, although you got A.J. McClain from the Backstreet Boys. I think he's the bad boy with the cane. But... the one name that is, there's a couple names that are standing out, but one more than anything is Carol Baskin from The Tiger King.
Yeah.
The woman who apparently is being, it's, you watch that, if you haven't seen it, and it seems like 90% of the people in the world have now seen that special. But if you watched it, they sure did allude to the conspiracy theory that she fed her husband to her tigers.
I 100%
believe
that.
To get all of his money.
I 100% believe it.
The way that they set up all of these facts and all of these opinions and all these experts, if it didn't happen, they sure as hell wanted you to think that it happened. And there's like, I mean, it's like, oh, once again, I got to consider the source where it came from. But it sure does seem like watching this documentary, she owns that land and the tiger farm that she owns and has all that money because she fed her husband to the lions. Now, I don't know if it's, or the tigers rather. I don't know if that's true, but she is going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Hey, Rich.
Which, yes.
So, you know how people, you know, predict winners, and I'm sure Joe probably could get odds on it. My prediction is she is going to be this year's Nancy Grace.
like she's going to fart on TV?
Dancing with the Stars. And one can only hope that that happens.
That would be fantastic. I mean, she is somebody that wants like $1 million for a sequel to The Tiger King. Like, who's going to want a sequel? Like, now, there is one network that is doing an investigation, like a deep dig onto whether or not she fed her husband to the tigers. And I guess since this Netflix thing came out, it's been opened back up. It was like a cold case, and they opened it back up. Now, that I would watch. Now, that I would see. I don't need to know about her lifestyle and anything else, but if it's like, let's get the real facts, let's get some detectives who've been working on it on here to find out whether or not she actually killed her husband and was eaten to hide the body, I'm all about that. But she's going to be dancing around on TV. Apparently, Nelly's going to be part of it as well. So there you go. You get to see Nelly do his thing. Nelly kind of just disappeared, man.
Hey, Nelly was damn good. When I was in high school, that album that he had, Must Be the Money, that was the album.
Longest Yard. Great acting
job.
Yeah, he was in
that
Longest Yard
as well.
Sure.
I didn't even mind that one that he did with Alan Jackson. That song was all right. Was it Alan? No, it was Tim McGraw, right? Because it's all in my head. Over again. I didn't even mind that song. Well, we'll see. Maybe Carol Baskin will be the one who farts on TV like Nancy Grace did.
They were smiling so big.
Well, there you go. So we have on with us, with no commercials, just the headlines, Mr. Billy Jaffe from Ness, and we will get a postmortem on your Boston Bruins.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.